Go ahead. Nathan hasn't even cracked a smile since he got here tonight. Let's go ahead and open in prayer, and then we'll jump into our study for tonight. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, again, we come before you, and Father, we're just grateful for the many things that you do in our lives. Father, there's so many things that you do that we don't even realize have been done. Father, so many little things, just moment by moment things that we take for granted. And Father, tonight I pray that we'd just take a moment and we'd pause and we'd just reflect on your goodness and we reflect on Father, the work that you've done in our lives and also, Father, through this church. And I was just thinking earlier on just about the impact of this conference and what a blessing it's been for us as a church to be involved in for many years. And Father, just the many lives that have been impacted and changed and Father, have gone on to do amazing things for you, and not necessarily but because of the conference, it's because of you, but Father, we've had the opportunity to be part of that, and what a blessing that is for us. And so Father, I pray that this year too, as we have conference, as we steward conference, Father, that you'd be honored and you'd be glorified. And the Father, this year too, conference would have an impact that is beyond the four walls of this building and is beyond the imaginations of our minds. Father, goes on to glorify you for many, many years. Father, again, we're grateful to you. We're grateful for the work that you've done in our lives. I pray that you'd work tonight, even now as I speak. And Father, I pray that you'd use me. In your name, amen. Well, a few weeks ago, my wife and I, we decided to have a date night. We have date nights most Friday nights when the kids go off to youth, and it's a fantastic opportunity for us. For many years, we were the youth people, so we didn't get date nights. It was pretty hard for us to come by, but then we came back to Australia, and we were no longer the youth people, and that was amazing. And we got date nights. And so a few weeks ago, we decided we were going to go out and watch a movie, and we just kind of dropped the kids off. We went over to Chermside and we watched a movie, and there was no need to prepare, there was no need to plan, there was no need to do anything. We just kind of showed up with expectation that somebody else was going to entertain us, right? That the actors on the screen were going to entertain us, that as we showed up to the movie theater, the popcorn was going to be made and warm. I didn't have to tell Aspen to go and turn the microwave on. There was nothing. We just showed up. Somebody gives you the popcorn. Well, you kind of have to do a little bit there. You put the box under the thing and the popcorn goes in and you don't pay for it, right? But there was nothing that we had to do. We just showed up and expected to be entertained. Sadly, I think sometimes with church and with conference, we can kind of slip into the same thing. As conference approaches and we see all the flyers and Andrew makes these great things on the back wall and people talk about it and we start to build up anticipation and there's an excitement that the conference is coming and we sort of can slip into this mentality of I'm coming to conference, and maybe we don't use these words, but to be entertained. We don't prepare. We don't do any work sort of mentally or spiritually to get into the right frame of mind. Perhaps we do the working bees and perhaps we do some other stuff, but we kind of hit conference with that entertain me, right? I hope that when I get to conference, somebody's going to be looking after the kids so that I can listen and there's nobody screaming. And I hope that when I get to conference, somebody's going to have sorted out all the food so there's good food for me to eat. And I hope that when I get to conference, that the preacher doesn't go too long because I've taken time off, right? I've taken time off and I'm away from work and I'm happy to commit that hour, maybe a little bit more, hour or two, to conference and to listening, but I sure hope that the preaching is on time. And we kind of slip into a mentality if we're not careful. I want to talk to you tonight just about making sure that we're prepared. And this is pretty simple, and you've heard this before. I'll ask you the question, is your preparation limited to the frenetic collection of your children, jamming them into the car so that we can get to church on time to listen? Is it limited to that when you're at home? Do you spend time trying to convince yourself that this is my day off, it's better to go than it is to sleep in and just be a little bit late? Or maybe you don't even think to prepare because this is just part of what you do. For some of you, you've been believers for a long time, and for many of you, you've been in this church for a long time, and coming to church on a Wednesday night, on a Sunday, coming to conference is just part of your life. It's become part of your routine. How we prepare for conference, and I'm going to put it out there even more importantly, how we prepare for our Sunday gatherings, the time that we come together as believers, is directly related to how much time we spend preparing. The benefit of conference, the benefit of our Sunday services and our Wednesday night is directly related to how much time you spend preparing your own heart. And we don't really think about that. Two common mistakes. At times we can prepare as spectators, right? We come mainly to watch, not to participate. It's like how we prepare to go to a sporting event, right? As long as I don't have the wrong team's uniform on, right? I never show up to a rugby match with a Maroons uniform on because that's the wrong team, right? I've got a Blues uniform on, right? As long as I show up, I don't have the opposing team's uniform, I don't really need to do a whole lot more to prepare. I anticipate it, but my general attitude is going to be, entertain me. Move me. Do something amazing. And if we've got a shocking rugby team like the Dragons, right? Don't make me suffer too much. Maybe that's how sometimes we approach church. Pastor, just don't make me suffer too much. I know there's a few things in my life that I need to work on, but just go easy on me. We have the same attitude in church and conference. We come with expectation, whether that's spoken or assumed, that we want to walk away from it on an emotional high and having had a good time, but we don't really want to prepare for it. Hopefully it's a good enough experience that it can carry on for a little while afterwards. If we're honest, maybe we need to be a little bit more blunt with ourselves. And I had to be this morning. As I sat down to do my devotions this morning and I'd already started working through this message, God really convicted me this morning. Phil, what are you doing as you're approaching conference? Is this just another work event? Is this just another thing on the calendar? Or are you preparing your own heart for what God's going to do during conference? For some of us, we prepare for conference and for Sundays as workers. And for many of you here who serve, that's exactly how you approach church or you approach conference. This is what I face as a pastor. But it's not just limited to pastors and staff. You might serve in our children's ministries, right? Or perhaps the sound ministry up the back there, or the two-camera ministry now, I think we're calling it, or something strange like that. Maybe you're part of the food ministry. Maybe you are a greeter at the door, and they're all vital things within the context of our church. But are we showing up because there's a job for me to do? Or are we showing up because there's something there that God's got for me? Often, and I'll be honest, I'm in this bucket, we prepare much like we do when we're preparing to go to work. We make a list of things to do. We make sure we leave for work, for church on time. And our mind is filled with the logistics and the details and the lists and the things that we need to do. Perhaps the people we need to see. Hey, there's people that I need to get alongside because they need help, or they need to know Christ, or they... We prepare like it's a list. These are the things I've got to achieve in this given time period. Preparing to meet with our church becomes an assessment of what we do. Maybe our gatherings even become a place where we derive some significance, some self-worth. Is that how we're thinking towards and preparing towards conference? Have you ever been there? Because I have. I'll be honest with you, I was there this week. So how should we prepare? How should, what things should I be doing now preparing for conference? What things should I be doing each week as I prepare for church? Because conference is only 2, 3, 4, how many days is it, Andrew? I've forgotten already. It's only 3 days, 4 days. But the reality is we should be preparing our hearts each week as we come to church. We shouldn't be coming to church with an attitude of entertain me, and we shouldn't be coming to church with an attitude of this is my job. We should be coming to church with an attitude of what is it that God would have for me, for my heart, in the message that he's given whoever is preaching this week. Let me give you a couple of things tonight, and we're going to be pretty quick tonight. Let me give you three things that I needed to be reminded of, and perhaps will help you as we approach conference. Here's the first one. Prepare to receive. Prepare now to receive when we get to conference. Every time we gather as a church, God will speak to us as his word is preached. I think we believe that, don't we? Right? As God's word is preached, that is for me. God speaks to us through that. Hearing from God is a weighty and glorious thing. Isn't it? Hearing from God is a weighty and glorious thing. Just think about that for a minute. Think back to Exodus. If you were to go to, and don't go there right now, but if you were to go to Exodus chapter 19 and 20, we have this period where God is preparing to speak to the nation of Israel. And he calls out Moses and he says, you need to get the people ready and tell them to do these things because I'm going to speak to them and I'm going to give them my law, and this is important for them, but they need to prepare. They're not ready for it right now. They need to prepare. In Exodus 19, verse 9, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of the people upon all Mount Sinai. You need to be prepared for me to speak to you. When God is preparing to speak, when God is preparing to work, we need to be preparing to listen and to respond. God's preparing to speak through several men at conference. He's preparing to use that in our lives. But we need to be preparing to listen. We need to be preparing to respond. To see God for who He is, to be overwhelmed by His greatness and His holiness, to see His boundless love and His mercy, to encounter what should make our hearts tremble. And that's the point that the nation of Israel gets to. When God comes and speaks to them, they trembled with fear. Our hearts should tremble as God speaks to us. Like the nation of Israel, we need to prepare. And through Jesus, because of Jesus, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to spend the majority of the time here just in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We can come boldly to conference, not because of who we are, not because of what I've done, not because of the things we've done to clean up the property, not because conference is what conference is, but we can come boldly before the throne of grace because of who we are in Christ. Because of how God sees us through the lens of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and approach God and be prepared to hear from God. But it doesn't mean that we come casually. It doesn't mean that we come complacently. We still need to prepare. When it says, let us draw near, there's preparation in that as we are coming to that time. We need to prepare our own hearts. We need to be careful of a complacent heart. That's where I was. The last 2 weeks, that's what I wrestled with, was just this sort of, okay, conference is coming. We've got to do all of these things. And I'll be honest with you, the start of this week, I was like, I really could not be bothered. Right? And God had to work on my heart with that. There's something that God wants to do through this conference. There's speaking that God wants to speak to my heart through this conference. Am I preparing myself to receive that? Let us draw near with true heart and full assurance of faith. Let me give you a couple of practical tips before we go to the second point. As you're preparing to draw near, as you are preparing to come to conference, as you're preparing to receive, here, be diligent now in your devotions. Right? Satan would like nothing more than for you to get a bit lazy now and come to conference half-hearted. Be diligent now with your devotions. Be studying the Word of God now as you approach conference. Be praying for your own heart as conference approaches. We've spent a lot of time praying for preachers. We've spent a lot of time praying for finances. We've spent a lot of time praying that people would be safe as we're doing things on the property. We've spent a lot of time praying for people that are traveling to our church. How much time have you spent praying for your own heart? Be diligent in your devotion. Be praying for your own hearts as conference approaches. Listen to this, deal with sin. Right? deal with sin. If there's something in my life that I need to deal with, don't wait until you get into conference and you're halfway through a sermon and Pastor Skelly's doing whatever it is that he does, right? And suddenly you're going, man, I need to deal with this. Deal with it now. Get right with God now so that from the very start of conference, you can just be fed. Be diligent in your devotions. Be praying for your own hearts. Deal with sin and prepare mentally to receive. Right? Not just to be entertained. I'm coming to conference because God's got something for me personally. Not God's got something for Andrew. And he probably does. But I'm not worried about what God's got for Andrew. Right? I'm preparing my heart for me to receive. Second point tonight, prepare to respond. The first one, prepare to receive. Second one, prepare to respond. When we've prepared to receive and God through his word reveals himself to us, or perhaps things about ourselves that we need to deal with, things should happen. Right? As God exposes that to me, something should happen. There should be a response. There should be movement in my heart. There should be more than just conviction. It should be action. How many times over the many years that I've been going to church, I've sat in these pews or in other pews and I've been convicted about something that God has put on my heart. But by the time I've walked out that door, and I've heard a funny joke from Shada or something like that, it's gone. Right? As God convicts you of that in conference while you're sitting in your seat, before you walk out the door, take action on that. We need to receive, but we also need to respond. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Maybe the thing that God is putting on your heart isn't something you need to deal with as in sin. Maybe it's, hey, I've been calling you and I've been calling you and I've been giving you what I want you to do and you've been putting that off. And you've been making excuses. And you've been saying the timing's not right. And you've been, whatever it is, here am I, send me. Be prepared to respond. We want to receive, but we also need to respond. Rather than being a spectator or a passive participant, our hearts should be moved to worship and to respond because we have seen the beauty and we've seen the greatness, and we've seen the holiness, and we've seen the mercy of God. And because I love God, I want to respond. Because I love God, I want to deal with whatever it is in my life that is impacting my relationship with Him, or whatever it is in my life that He's calling me to do, that He's made clear for me to do. We need to respond. We sing to Him, we confess our sins, we receive His word as it's preached, we give, and we act. All with grateful hearts in response to God's calling on us. So how do we do that? Here's a couple practical tips. Get up early, right? Get to church early, right? Don't rush in the door at the last minute. How many people on Sunday, Andrew and I and Shada and a couple other guys stand at the back, how many people come to church after the singing, right? Get up early, get to church early. Prepare your heart early. If we're going to be in a position to be able to respond to what God's calling us to do, I've got to have prepared my heart. And if I'm showing up at the last minute, I haven't had time to spend with God and going, God, just deal with me. Get here early. Bring your Bible and a pen, something to write on. Right? I think the print shop is printing up some booklets, right, for notes. Am I supposed to not tell people that? It's a secret. You don't know that. But the print shop is printing up, printing notebooks. But bring your Bible, right? Not your phone, all right? Not your phone. Bring your Bible. It's different, all right? Bring your pen and take notes. Taking notes does a couple of things for you. One, it helps you to reflect back on that. Two, it keeps you paying attention, right? So be diligent, take notes, listen to what's happening. Pray. Prepare for each meeting through the conference. As you come in and you sit down, just take a moment just to realign your heart. Just to settle into to what God's going to do, and pray that God would help you to respond correctly to the message. Get rid of all the distractions. Right? Sometimes we come to church and we've got our I don't carry a purse, right? I stopped just as I came to Australia because it was embarrassing, but because I couldn't carry a gun anymore, that was the real reason. But, you know, get rid of all those distractions, all those things that just, your phone. I leave my phone on my desk back there because I don't want the distraction. Get rid of those distractions. Because I tell you what, Satan knows that you're here, and he knows that you've prepared your heart, and he knows that you want to receive and that you want to respond. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to send you text. He won't send you the text messages, but there's going to be text messages. There's going to be, I don't know, the Maroons beat the Blues again. It's not even State of Origin this year. Normally it was State of Origin, right? But something's going to happen on your phone that's going to distract you. So just get rid of your phone. Leave it in your car. Put it at the bottom of your wife's purse. Whatever it is, but come to the service without distractions. Listen to what's being said with a focus on your own heart. With a focus on your own heart, right? How often do we sit there, and be honest, how often do we sit there and go, man, I wish Andrew was listening to this. Whew. Hope he's got this. He could really use this one, right? I hope my kids are listening to this. I hope they're convicted. I hope this changes their lives. Hey, listen with a focus on your own heart and what God desires to do with your heart. When he changes your heart and you allow him to work in you, you're going to have a greater impact on Andrew or on your kids than if you're just hoping that they hear it, right? Take notes. I said that before, take notes. This young guy here always takes notes. I sat over there the last few weeks and I watched you. It might not be in English and I don't know how to read it, but he always takes notes, right? If he can take notes, and he's not taking notes, he's like trying to find his pen and his paper right now. He's not taking notes tonight, but if he can take notes, there's no excuse for you to take notes, right? So why aren't you taking notes? Because I listen better if I don't. No, rubbish, get out of that, right? You don't take notes because you're lazy. Let's just be blunt, all right? I'll get kicked out tomorrow, but that's okay. Right, third and last point tonight. All right, so what are we doing? We're coming, we're preparing our own hearts, we're preparing to receive, we're preparing to respond, and here's the last one, prepare to edify someone else. Prepare to respond, prepare to receive, prepare to edify someone else. Our worship and the opportunity to grow and to invest doesn't stop when the singing ends. It doesn't stop when that final prayer happens. It doesn't stop when you walk out that door. It continues as we greet each other, as we encourage each other, as we serve each other, as we pray for each other, as we exhort each other. as we just spend a couple moments with each other. God chooses to use people to edify his body. I find that strange. Have a look at Hebrews 10 again, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. The word consider there is have a detailed knowledge, not a casual glance, a detailed knowledge. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And we always read that in the light of make sure you're going to church. But as you read the context of this, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't stop getting together with other believers and exhorting and provoking to love and to good works. Don't stop fellowshipping. Don't stop challenging each other. Don't stop talking about what God is doing in my life. You know what would be great is if we had a session in conference and it worked on your heart and you went outside and you grabbed someone and you said, hey, God convicted me of this and I want to deal with this. Or God called me into this and I'm going to do that. And that person's encouraged and they want to talk to someone else. And all we have is people talking about what God is doing. That would be great. 1 Corinthians 14:26, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you with a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Conference should be a time of us edifying one another. I prepare to receive. Once I've received, I respond to that and I allow God to work on my heart. And then I go and I spend time with somebody else. I'm not running out the door. I want to spend time with somebody else and help them, encourage them, strengthen them. It amazes me that God would use us to exhort and encourage one another. Right? If you think about it, there's nothing else really in creation that works that way. If you've got bad fruit, you don't add another bad fruit to the bundle to make the fruit better, do you? Right? But as believers, God says, I expect you as sinners, saved by me, seen differently by me, I expect you to exhort and to encourage and to strengthen and to love and to disciple one another through me. So tonight, are you coming to conference expecting, are you coming to conference praying that God will use you? I'm not talking about serving. I'm talking about use you in the life of someone else. Are you praying for an opportunity to get alongside someone else and just be an encouragement? We should be. We should be praying that God will convict us and that God will work in us and that God will deal with our own hearts, but we should also be praying that God would give us the opportunity to sit with someone else and help them. Encourage them, strengthen them, exhort them, edify them. You've got a part to play. Conference isn't just about the speakers that are up here. It's not just about the ladies that are in the kitchen frantically pulling pork apart that Dave shot the other day, right? It's not just about that stuff. It's not about the cleaners and all of that. All those things are important, but conference is about you and a part that you have to play. And every one of us here has a part to play in somebody else's life. This conference, prepare for gathering with our church family by asking God how he would use you in someone else's life. Hey, don't show up as a spectator, just hoping to receive. And don't show up just as a worker, expecting to tick some boxes. Show up desiring to grow and to change, and show up desiring to speak into someone else's life, to work in someone else's life, to encourage someone else's life. So how's your preparation for conference going? Is it on track? This Sunday, come ready to meet with God and to respond to Him in glad and grateful worship, with a heart that's ready and desirous of changing, and a heart that loves this body. Prepare to receive, prepare to respond, and prepare to edify someone else. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we come before you, and Father, none of us here deserves to be here. Father, none of us deserves to spend eternity with you. Father, none of us deserves to be saved by your grace. And Father, we are. Those of us that are believers here tonight are. And so, Father, as we approach conference, I pray that you would encourage us to prepare our own hearts, that you would encourage us to be ready to receive what it is that you would have for us in conference. And for some of us, that's going to be hard. Father, for some of us, that's going to be convicting. And for some of us, that's going to take some breaking. And Father, I pray that even right now, this evening, as we sit here, Father, you would start to do that work in our hearts, that softening in our hearts. Start to remind us of perhaps the things that you've called us to, that you've spoken to us about before. And Father, as we approach conference, that you would, Father, just refresh those things in our mind. Father, I pray that you'd also give us a heart that desires to fellowship with and just to come alongside someone else. And perhaps in some people's minds here, there's already someone. There's already somebody that they desire to get alongside of. And Father, I pray that you would open those doors. You would give that opportunity. Father, many people coming. And Father, some of them are discouraged. Father, preachers that have worked in our outback communities and in churches that have very few people, and they come just to be strengthened. And Father, they need this time. And so, Father, I pray that you would give us a desire to get alongside those men and women. And Father, just to encourage them and strengthen them. Father, tonight as we go into our prayer service, I pray that, Father, we would pray with genuine hearts. We would pray desiring and trusting. And we would pray with boldness. Father, we are grateful. You are good to us. And we love you. In your name, amen.